All right, well, we are going to continue with this morning's message. Mia and Terry are coming down. They will be here about 10 or 11 o'clock tonight. Them and their dog. So the dog is always with Terry. So it's his, what do you call it, therapy dog? Yeah. Something like that. It helps him stay level with all that he has experienced in Afghanistan and Iraq. So he pulled I think 6 tours. So he's got a lot that he has seen. And being the last part of that, he was the chaplain's assistant. So it was his job to protect the chaplain, and so all the men that died over there, he would have to notify the families, and he would have to get their bodies shipped back, and that was very taxing on him. So they're going to come and help us move, and that's going to be good. Mia said, the only time we get to see you guys is when there's a death in the family and you come to Iowa to preach. So rather than have a death in the family, we'd rather come down and help you move. So they're going to be here tonight, and they're going to help us Monday and Tuesday and then leave on Wednesday. So we're going to continue with this morning's message. This morning we spoke about living a balanced life, and we've been looking at the fifth area of our lives. We know that we need to have balance in our lives spiritually and relationally. We need to have balance in our lives financially and physically. And we need to have balance in our lives emotionally. So in order to have balance in our lives emotionally, we need to always live watchfully, watching the gauges of our lives so that we can tell when one area of our life is being disrupted, so that we can make adjustments in our lives. We know that the spiritual balance is the basis for the other four. That without the spiritual balance, our relational balance, our financial balance, physical balance, and emotional balance cannot and will not be what it needs to be without the spiritual balance. The only problem with that is the fact that when something happens in our lives spiritually, relationally, financially, or physically, it affects our emotions. So we need to be watchful. We need to live respectful. And this morning we looked at living gratefully. We saw how Paul had been working and talking and speaking, writing to the church at Thessalonica. And he said that we need to rejoice evermore, that we need to pray without ceasing, and that we need to give thanks always for all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we looked at that, looking at rejoicing always. We looked at praying constantly and giving thanks for everything. That's the type of people that God wants us to be. He wants us to be grateful people. So tonight is going to be hopefully not a downer. I don't like to have a message be a downer. But we need to have and know the warning signs of things that can happen in our lives that should be an alarm for us, that tells us something's not right in our lives emotionally. Something is happening either spiritually, relationally, financially, or physically, that's affecting our emotions. And so we're going to talk about, there are six unhealthy warning signs that help us to establish and to understand whether we truly have balance in our lives emotionally. And the first one is this: ingratitude. To have ingratitude. We live many times, excuse me, with a grateful heart, but there are times that things happen in our lives that we are not grateful for. And so it can cause us to be ungrateful. It can cause us to be out of balance. It can put our emotions on edge, and they just stay there. They're never, it's like putting a pot on the back burner and just letting it sit there and smolder, so to speak. And when the least little bit of problem comes into our lives and jars our vessel, or some pressure comes in and starts squeezing on us, whatever's on the inside comes out. Ingratitude is rampant throughout our society. You can do things for people, and many times they are not grateful. I was in a line the other day, and I didn't have any pressing time, and I was at Schnucks, and I was there, and there was a lady that was just, man, she was just going all over the place, and she was looking in this line, and then she'd be over in this line because this line might be shorter and back over here, and I just kind of stepped off to the side like I was looking for something, and I said, you can have my spot. And she jumped right in there, and so as soon as she was in there, then I came back. Not a word. Not a word. Now, I don't know what was happening in her life. There are many times things happen in our lives that rock us, and we can be individuals that don't have a grateful heart at that moment. Now, I spoke with her just a little bit, and just, you know, very casually. And, you know, I never asked her, you know, what's your problem, lady? You know, I should have, but she wasn't very talkative, and so I was just minding my own business, letting her do her thing and get on with her life. When we have ingratitude in our hearts, it is in essence also showing that we are ungrateful to God. Now that's a hard pill to swallow. When things happen in our lives that we're not grateful for, we're actually saying, God, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and therefore I don't have a grateful heart. I don't like the outcome of this. See, God wants us to have a grateful heart because of who He is and because of what He has done in our lives, not just the circumstances that we're currently going through. Can we not have a grateful heart for who He is and for what He has done in our lives besides just the current situation or circumstances that are taking place? As Christians, we ought to be bigger than that. Amen? That's what God desires. His will for us is that we rejoice forevermore, that we pray without ceasing, and that we give thanks for everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, if that is His will, and we have ingratitude in our hearts, we're basically saying, God, I'm not grateful for who you are. I'm not grateful for what you have done in my life. And I'm certainly not grateful for the circumstance that I happen to be in right now. But see, are we going to be victims of our circumstance? Are we truly going to have an ungrateful heart? Because an ungrateful heart begins a downward spiral. And that ungrateful heart leads to many things that we do not want to be. So the first warning sign is a sign of being ungrateful. It's having an ungrateful heart, not only just for the things around us, but for who he is and what he's done in our lives. This downward spiral then leads us, secondly, to the second warning sign, which is entitlement. Entitlement. I think I hear Dwayne. Maybe. Don't know. Entitlement. Ingratitude leads us to entitlement, where everyone owes you something. Our friends owe us something. Our family owes us something. Our church owes us something. God actually owes us something. Our boss, our job, the society, our government, everything owes us. That's the entitlement mentality. And that's what an ungrateful heart leads to. It leads us to believe that other people owe us, and it's their fault, and because it's their fault, they are indebted to us, and they owe us. They owe us. And when they owe us, we have this entitlement mentality. And pretty soon, everything we see, everything that we experience, our emotions are on edge, and we're emotionally imbalanced because we have ingratitude in our heart and entitlement in our brain. When we start to believe that people owe us something, when we start to believe that God owes us something, I want to make a statement tonight. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe God everything because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to be our substitution. He died in our place so that we could have eternal life with him. God has already given us everything. He owes us nothing. If he doesn't do one more thing for me, he's already done more than I deserve. Because I deserve hell and damnation for the sins in my life. That's the problem with an ungrateful heart, because it leads us down a spiral and we become someone that God never wanted us to be. We begin to have this entitlement mentality. When we bought the house, right before closing, we do a final walkthrough. First thing, open the door, it's 84 degrees in there. What's wrong with this picture? The lawn is freshly mowed. He mowed the lawn, went in, kicked on the air. The furnace fan is running. Put my hand over the register, and there's no air coming out that register. And I go around throughout the entire house, there's no air coming out of the register. It was cool when we looked at it, when we put the offer in. I mean, now what do you do? And so our realtor, Becky Crow, Dwayne's sister, she noted it on the final walkthrough, and so they got somebody over there, and evidently the furnace fan had been running for years without a furnace filter. And it built up so much dirt in that little rabbit cage fan that the fins were so full of dust and dirt and debris that it wasn't moving any air. So the heating and air guy just cleaned it out, blew it out real good, and boy, it works like a champ. That's different. What's truly amazing, we went over and we put teepee in the other bathroom. I only brought one roll, you know, because we're moving. And anyway, so to wash your hands and everything, it's like, where's the hot water? And so you turn on your sinks, the hot water is always on your left, right? So you turn that left one on, and it doesn't come out hot, and just let it run, and it still doesn't come out hot, and it just let it run. And pretty soon it's like Kathy says, I've got hot water in the kitchen. I said, really? You got hot water in the kitchen? And I went back and I put my, yeah, it's hot water. So I go back and nothing coming out hot over here. So it's like, okay, I'll turn on the right one. So I turn on the right one, and sure enough, hot water comes out of the right one. Wait a minute here. Hot water's only supposed to come out of the left faucet, not the right faucet. I wonder if the tub's okay. So I go to turn on the tub. Yep, tub's fine. We go to check the master bath. Both sinks in the master bath, the water comes out of the right valve, not the left valve. Now, the tub comes out. I didn't check the shower. That'll be an experience. Does he owe me? The question is, does the seller owe me to come back to fix that? The answer is no. I already closed on the property. That's my problem now. Does it irritate me? Slightly. There are several little things that I'm going to have to tweak and fix and change and things like that, but you always have that. That's not coming from an entitlement mentality. When we have an ungrateful heart and we start believing that everyone owes us, all of our family owes us, all of our friends owe us, our church owes us, God owes us, our job owes us, we're in a dangerous spiral downward because we have an ungrateful heart. We now have a mentality of entitlement. And the third thing is even worse. It's discontentedness. Discontentedness. Contentedness means that you are content. The Bible tells us that we are to be content wherewith we are. Be content in life. If you have meat and clothing, be content. That's what the Bible tells us. But when we have an ungrateful heart and an entitlement mentality, it leads us to be discontent. And we're discontent with everything around us. We look in the mirror, we're discontent with the way we look. We buy things and we're discontent with the way they work. We're discontent with our jobs. We're discontent with our automobile. Someone else has one better. We're discontent with the family that God's given us. God, are you crazy? Why would you put me in this family? All of these things are going wrong in my family, and I'm not content with the situation that I'm in. That discontentedness leads us on a path where nothing is right. Everything seems to be wrong. Can you understand how emotionally imbalanced an individual is that has an ungrateful heart and entitlement mentality and they're discontent with life itself? Wow, it is sad. But when we look at society, even the people of this neighborhood, there are many individuals that have an ungrateful heart. They have an entitlement mentality, and they're discontented with everything around them. They believe that people are holding them down and holding them back because the harder they try, the deeper they get. And so they're discontented with life itself. That's a horrible place to live. That's a horrible place to be. And then to try to come to church and worship God for how good and how great and how glorious He is. Do you see the chasm that's between those two? They can't be moved because it starts with that ungrateful heart. Leads to that entitlement mentality. And now they're discontented with life. It's a horrible place to visit. It's a horrible place to live. And see, that's what that downward spiral does. It just sucks you in and you can't get out by yourself. No amount of climbing out, no amount of strength, no amount of trying to better yourself is going to change your situation. Only God can change your situation. Amen? Only God can do things that we can't do. Because it's His battle, it's not ours. But see, when we finally get to the point that we quit trying to do it ourselves in our own strength, then God can finally move. When I first started preaching, I would stand behind the pulpit. And I would give them everything that God had given me through the week prior and the studies I'd done, and I wrote it out, and because I wanted to make sure that I covered everything, and it wore me out. And I talked to Dr. T.O. Spicer, and he said, Craig, you can't do this. You can't change someone's life. You can't even say anything that's going to benefit anyone. It's a God thing. It's not a Craig thing. So I had to learn to get away from what Craig wrote and get out here to where God can anoint. So that God can do His work, not only in my life, but through my life and into the congregation. I was not a happy camper because I was trying to do everything in my own strength. And the harder I tried, the weaker I became. And that's the way it is when you're trying to climb out of a downward spiral. When you're emotionally locked in, having an ungrateful heart, an entitlement mentality, and having a discontentedness with everything in life. That leads us to the fourth warning sign. And that's skepticism. Skepticism. That is a continual doubting of the truth. An ongoing suspicion of what people say and what people do. being a skeptic. Now, some people like to wear their skepticism as a badge because they truly believe that they know what is right and they're skeptical of everything else. They want others to believe that their position is right. And because of that, they're skeptical of everything and everyone. They're skeptical of people's motives. So it starts with this ungrateful heart. It leads to the entitlement mentality. We become discontented with life to where we are skeptical now of everything that's going on around us. Even though someone will speak truth to you, well, you're skeptical of that, and you're not going to believe it, even though it's truth. There's a one glaring reality. And I've met some skeptics. And that one glaring reality is this. They don't trust anyone. They don't trust what they say, what they do. They don't try to change, because when you speak truth to them, they don't believe it whatsoever. They're skeptical. And now that downward spiral is starting to wallow out. It appeared to be very small to begin with, but as it goes around and around and around and around, it wallows itself out. And now, we're skeptical of our workers that we work with. We're skeptical of our boss. We're skeptical of our spouse. We're skeptical of the people we socialize with. We lock ourselves in because we're not enjoying life. We're skeptical. And because we're skeptical, it leads us further down the downward spiral to where there's hardly any light at all. We just simply wallow in our raw emotions because no one cares truly. That's what the skeptic thinks. Even though you might put your arm around someone and say, you know, how's it going? They'll tell you everything's fine just so they don't have to talk to you about it. Skepticism. And then it continues to get worse. And as we become skeptical, we become critical. Criticism. To where you criticize everything that goes on around you. You criticize every individual around you. You criticize people and what they're doing, and there's always your way is better, right? My way is always better. Isn't that right? Come on now, agree with me. Or you're being skeptical. No. I can have a critical spirit at times. I like to line everything up, and then I like to follow the plan. And when that happens, I'm a happy camper. But let one thing happen. I don't like that. It bothers me. There's a better way of doing this, and it's my way. I'm sorry if you don't agree with that. A couple weeks ago, I called ADT because they're our security provider. I called ADT because, well, you know, we put an offer in on this house. We're going to be closing on the 26th. We're going to be moving the first week of July. I want to make sure that I can transfer all of my stuff and continue my service. Okay, fine. Well, Mr. Ballard, none of that stuff is yours. It's all ours. It all has to stay. It's like, no, I'm sorry. I bought this equipment. I've paid for this equipment. This equipment is mine. And they said, no, I'm sorry. It's ours, and it's going to stay in the house. It's like, no, I'm sorry. I did not deal with ADT Corporate. I went through Defenders. And they said, oh, you went through Defenders. Okay, well, all right, let me look this up. And, oh, yep, everything is yours. So what do I need to do when the time comes to schedule the removal of the equipment so that I can take the equipment to the new house? And they said, all you have to do is call Defenders, the moving department of Defenders. I said, do you have that number? And they gave it to me. Okay, fine, I got it. So I have kept in contact with Kyle Wright. He is the individual that set our stuff up from Defenders. ADT does all the corporate work, the billing, and all that stuff. So anyway, Kyle said, yeah, all that stuff's yours. Just let me know. Just schedule it through Defenders, and I'll be the guy that comes to take it out, and I'll be the one that installs it. I said, okay, fine. So when we closed, I texted Kyle, and I said, okay, what's the Defender number that I need to call? Because I don't want to chase through the switchboard and talk to four or five different departments. And so he gave me the number. Sure enough, it was the Defenders moving department. So I call them, I tell them what I'm going to do. They want to know the new address so that we can set up the install date. And I say to him, shouldn't we actually schedule the pull first before the install? He goes, nope, the install takes precedence over the pull. I said, what happens? Why do we want to set up the install before we actually pull the equipment? Well, that way the install will already be done. And so I can transfer you to the pull department. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. You can transfer me to a different department to pull this? And he goes, yes, it won't be a problem at all. So got my new address, got all that stuff, got everything all scheduled. They're going to be out there Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so he transfers me. And I have to go through this whole thing again with this next person. I'm moving, da-da-da-da-da-da, and now I have to have it pulled. And she goes, that's right. And she says, but this isn't your equipment. It's like, oh, boy. Yes, it is my equipment. I paid for it, and it's my equipment. And I said, I went through Defenders. Is this Defenders? She goes, yes, it is. Let me pull up your records. Oh, yes, it is yours. We'll be out to pull it, but I want you to know, the little panel that you have will always stay because we'll put a new panel in the new house. I said, that's fine. I don't care, but everything else goes, right? And she goes, yes, it all goes. So she says the only time available for your pull is Thursday. Well, the install is on Wednesday. She says, well, I can probably move you to Tuesday if you want. And I said, that would be fine. So she moves me to Tuesday, which is prior to the install, which everything was fine. And she says, now I have to connect you to ADT Corporate so that they can change your address and discontinue your service. It's like, whoa, stop. Why? Well, because they take care of your billing. I said, just change my address. The new bill will come to the new address. Not a problem. Yeah, but they need to discontinue your service at your current address. Okay, so on the phone again to another person, ADT Corporate, have to go through that whole thing again. No, this is ADT owned. No, it's not. I own it. I paid for it. I got it through Defenders. Oh, look, let me look up the record. Oh, you're right, Mr. Ballard. Okay. So all we have to do is disconnect your service on your pull date, and everything will be fine. And we'll connect your new service up at the Jake Wood address, and everything will be fine. And I said, you know, you're about the fourth person I've talked to today. Let me give you a little information. It would be much better customer service if I only needed to talk to one person, they could then take all that information and assimilate it out through your network to the different departments, and everything could be done with one conversation rather than talking to four or five different people from the last hour. I'm sorry, this is just the way we do it. I said, well, it doesn't make it right. If they just do it my way, it'd be easier. It's smarter. Talk to one person, let them assimilate everything out. That's all you got to do. But no, you have to talk to four or five people and take an hour to do a simple transaction. I don't think that that's critical. Yeah, okay. I was not a happy camper that day. But everything worked out, and I praise the Lord for it. So, and I've had the same thing with all my internet and everything else, and I'm not going to go into all that. But when we have an ungrateful heart, and it leads us to have an entitlement mentality, and we're not content with where we're at, and it's leading us down this spiral, downward journey, we become emotionally imbalanced. The last one is the worst of all. Beyond the critical spirit is the cynical. The cynical. These are all warning, cynicism. These are all warning signs that something's not right in our lives emotionally. The cynic sees an ulterior motive. Why, they just want another $99 for the install. You don't know how many times I've been told, "Yeah, this is going to cost you this much money," and then it's like, okay, but we will reimburse you if you go ahead with the install. It's like, what? So you're going to take my money, and you're going to install it, and then you're going to refund me the money. Is that right? Yes, it is right. That's what we're going to do, Mr. Ballard. It's like, okay, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. We do have to have service, and we do want to move. But to have that cynicism. And I've spoke to cynics before. You've spoke with cynics before that don't believe. They don't believe the truth even though they're hit over the head with it. They are emotionally imbalanced. And because they don't have the grateful heart, it leads them down this spiral downward journey to where now they're cynical. They don't believe anything that they're told. Life is not good. They're discontented. They believe that everybody owes them. And they're an emotional wreck. Cross by one of them someday and have an exchange with them and see what comes out of them when their vessel is squeezed. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be nice. And that's where our society is, because they are void a loving God that is able to do battle for them. That's why Chicago is a worse terror zone than Afghanistan. They've had more murders in Chicago than they have in Iraq and Afghanistan put together. St. Louis County is in an all-time high for murder rates and shootings since the first of the year. Why? It's a heart issue. People are emotionally imbalanced. That's why they need to see us as being emotionally balanced. Having a grateful heart regardless of the situation that's going on around us. Being grateful to God for who He is, what He has done in our lives. And yes, there might be some issues that are going on currently, but guess what? He is the one that is going to fight this battle for you. And because of that, we can live gratefully. In closing, this downward spiral begins with disobedience. When we don't rejoice evermore and pray constantly and give thanks for everything because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, when we don't do that, that's disobedience. So it leads us to have ingratitude in our hearts. We need to be individuals that can say thank you. Maybe even individuals that write a little note of thank you. Just a little note, letting someone know that you took the time to be grateful and to express your gratitude to them in a note. Because when we do that, we can truly, truly live gratefully and be emotionally balanced and be the individuals that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for who you are, for all that you have done in our lives. We have gratitude tonight. Regardless of the situations that are going on in our lives, Father, we pray that you would do battle for each one that is here. Because the battle is yours. It's not ours. And Father, the outcome is yours. It's not ours. Whatever the outcome is, Father God, we thank you for that. And Father, we praise you for who you are. Because we must be individuals that have a grateful heart. So Father, help us to be grateful this week. Help us to be that individual that has an encouraging word to someone that may have an emotional imbalance. And Father, we thank you for how you're going to use us this week. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.